Well, it's that time of year again where the warm weather starts to vanish and the cold comes creeping in. And with that, the warmth of the holidays begins to set the scenes around you. Colorful lights start to tastefully show up around the neighborhood. Cheerful music is being heard from near and far. Families are gathering and great food is being prepared. This is the most wonderful time of year. Well, what do you know? Now cozy on up, cross your fingers for snow, because we're serving up a cup of cheer.
So my name is Matt Reed, and I'm the founder of First Class Children's Foundation. Our Christmas fundraiser this year is a fundraiser we call Letters from Santa Claus. And what it is we've teamed up with Santa Claus, and he has agreed to send letters to children in exchange for donations. So for $5, $5 donation to First Class Children's Foundation, children can get a personalized letter from Santa Claus mailed directly to their door a couple of weeks before Christmas time.
We're talking with Matt Reed of the First Class Children's Foundation and the proprietor of North Pole Du Bois. He works directly with Santa Claus and helps kids from the area get their letters to him. Matt Reed is the founder of the First Class Children's Foundation. Over the last 10 years, he has done tons of community service events to raise money for local charities. Over this time, he has raised and donated over $20,000 to local charities. With this community awareness in mind and the help of his friends and family, he started First Class Children Foundation to raise money to purchase school supplies for children in the Du Bois area.
So we do the Imagination Box, and the Imagination Box is, it's a box full of essential school supplies, three scholastic books that the children pick themselves. And then they fill out a questionnaire for us, and we ask them things like, hey, who's your favorite superhero? And if they put Spider-Man, we put a Spider-Man comic in it. And then we say, hey, you know, what's your favorite candy bar? If they say my favorite candy bar is a Reese's cup, then we put Reese's in the box. Mm. And then every box comes with Pokemon cards too. So everything's completely personalized and set up directly to that specific child because we've done our research in advance. But you have to do the boxes one at a time, so they take a while for us to make. For a $5 donation, you get a letter from Santa Claus, and then we also have a package where you can do a $10 donation, and it gets you a letter from Santa Claus and an official nice list certificate. And both of those items are personalized and customized directly towards the child, and they're mailed right to that child just a couple of weeks before Christmas.
Now, a nice list certificate, I mean, pretty self-explanatory. It's a certificate to that specific child that they're on the nice list.
Yeah, it's like it's a certificate printed on, you know, nice high quality parchment paper, has the child's name in the middle, and it's signed by Santa Claus and his head elf.
That's cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it is really cool
because that, you know, our kids would love it.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
I'm probably going to be doing it.
Well, it's an awesome program, and what's great about it is that if you have a child out there that's on the edge. Mm-hmm. This really pulls them back. You know, I've had tons of feedback and a lot of response about just how magical that is, especially for children. Just to receive mail is a big deal, right. But to have mail come and it's Santa Claus himself that writes you, and you know, the letter is so original and so upbeat that it makes, you know, everybody happy. It puts a smile on my face every time I read them. So,
right? Do you you get them straight from Santa himself after
Santa Claus himself
writes the whole thing all by him? That's cool. Yep. See, he can take time to do anything he wants because he's Santa Claus.
Well, you know, he's really busy when it comes to Christmas time, but he's willing to take time out of his day to write some letters back to the children because, you know, that's just what he loves so much.
Today, we're going over a long history of letters to Santa and how they've changed over the years. Letters to Santa has a long history, and a lot of strange things happened in the beginning. Santa letters originated as missives that children received rather than sent. Using them as tools to counsel kids on their behavior. For example, Santa wrote, "I am sorry that I sometimes hear you are not so kind to your little brother as I wish you were," to a little boy named Charlie on Christmas Eve in 1851. This practice shifted as gifts took on a more central role in the holiday. The letters morphed into a Christmas wish list, but Santa continued to write children letters. Originally, kids didn't even mail them. Before the post office department presented a solution for getting Santa letters to their destination, children came up with really creative ways to get their messages to where they needed to go. Kids in the U.S. would leave them by the fireplace, where they imagined they would turn into smoke and go up to Santa. Scottish children would speed up the process by just sticking their heads up there and shouting out their Christmas wishes. In Latin America, kids threw them on balloons and then watched them float into the sky. There was a cartoon by Thomas Nast in 1871 in an issue of Harper's Weekly. The image shows Santa seated at his desk, processing his mail, sorting them into stacks labeled letters from naughty children's parents and letters from good children's parents. Nast illustrations were widely seen and shared, being in one of the highest circulation publications of the era. And his Santa illustrations were grown into a beloved tradition since he first drew the figure for the magazine's cover in 1863. Reports of Santa letters ending up at local post offices shot up after Nast's illustration appeared. Kids don't always address them to the North Pole. While most of the children sending letters today direct them to the North Pole, for the first few decades of Santa letters, this was just not one of the many potential destinations. Other locations where children imagined St. Nick based his operations included Iceland, Ice Street, Cloudville, or Behind the Moon. Exceptions can still be found today. Most U.S. letters addressed to Santa Claus end up at the local post offices for handling, as part of the Operation Santa program. If the notes are addressed to Anchorage, Alaska, or Santa Claus, Indiana, which is a real place, they will go to those cities. Kids in England can address letters to Santa's Grotto in Reindeer Land. Canadian children can just write North Pole and add the postmark H-O-H-O to ensure that the big man gets their notes. So, did you know that Santa has an email address? Always one to evolve with the times, Santa now answers email. Kids can reach him through a number of outlets, such as Letters to Santa, EmailSanta.com, and ElfHQ. Macy's encourages kids to email St. Nick as part of his annual Believe campaign. Children can also go the old-fashioned route and drop off a letter at the red mailbox to their nearest Macy's store. And the folks behind Elf on the Shelf Empire offer their own connection to St. Nick. Also, check out the United States Postal Service website for directions on how to mail a letter to the North Pole. Lastly, we have Matt Reed here to tell us a little bit more about the First Class Children Foundation and how they've partnered with Santa Claus this year.
Cool. Well, tell us more about the Imagination Box.
So the Imagination Box is this year's big initiative. It's, you know, from First Class Children's Foundation, there's this big initiative that we had called the Imagination Box. And all the money that we raised all year went to buy a special box called the Imagination Box for children, and it had essential school supplies in it. Scholastic sponsored us, and we were able to give each child 3 books. And then we had personalized items. We sent out a questionnaire, and we would just ask personalized questions to the children. We'd say, who's your favorite superhero? They would say, Spider-Man. And then I would put a Spider-Man comic in the box. They'd say, you know, we'd say, what's your favorite candy? And they would say, it's Reese's. So we'd get Reese's and we put it in the box. So it was personalized to each kid, so no 2 boxes were the exact same. But every kid got a pack of Pokemon cards in there too, just kind of as a special surprise. But there are some kids who really liked Pokemon, and that would be in their favorite TV show category.
Right.
And we would give it away to them too.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so we did the box program, and it's a donation of over $10,000 worth of school supplies to local kids, which is awesome in itself. I mean, that's really an accomplishment for what we were able to do this year.
In Dubois. Right. So how long have you been doing? You started off doing the Imagination Box, right? That was first, or the Letters from Santa?
I did Letters from Santa last year, but right. I mean, overall, the community service for me goes the whole way back to like high school Make-A-Wish campaign.
So you've always been involved in helping.
Yeah, we did a bunch of stuff. So I mean, I started back then, and then that was like, what, 10, 11 years ago now. So,
man, you know, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, so we did the Make-A-Wish drive, and I come up with a lot of ideas and things like that to raise money for Make-A-Wish.
You were the class president, right?
I was not the class president. Ian was.
Ian, where were you? Oh, Mr. Dubois.
I was Mr. Dubois.
That's right. I knew you were something.
Yeah, it was a title. It's a weird one. Looking back on it, like, it's weird.
I don't know.
Because everybody's like, oh, most school spirited, or like, oh, most likely to succeed. I'm like, I'm Mr. Dubois.
So you said you've been doing the Letters from Santa for 2 years.
Yeah, this is the second year for Letters from Santa. First Class Children's Foundation, I started 3 years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, before that, I had just been doing stuff you know, I just been kind of doing stuff on my own. So like the reason that I started First Class Children's Foundation in the first place was just a desire to make sure I knew where the money went after I raised it. Because after high school, I had joined different groups and things like that. I'd raised money all over the place. I'd started having car shows on my own, and the car shows would benefit different charities every year. Like I donated a bunch of money to the Josh Martino Scholarship Fund when Josh passed as in the Marine Corps. And then I give money to the Du Bois Free Medical Clinic. I donated a bunch of toys to Toys for Tots. I donated lighting equipment to the communications lab up at the high school, and like just different things like that. And then when we started First Class, it was a different feeling to it, because then I could decide exactly where and what the money was going towards, and I could keep a better eye on it.
Right, and that's the biggest thing. I think when people are being hesitant for donating, they don't know where their money's going.
And with First Class Children's Foundation, I mean, it's official as all can be, but every single penny that we make goes directly to local children. Nothing is taken out.
Right.
We don't have administrative costs. We don't buy supplies with it. I don't buy anything that I use for the car shows and the things that we do.
Right.
You know, I don't use any of that money for that. Every dime donated goes right to local children.
And that's great, because I think you might know this better, but I think I read a statistic about
10
cents on every dollar was actually donated. Right.
Yeah, and you know, that's for big, large national charities.
Right.
And, you know, the bigger that you get, the more that you have costs like that.
Because you have more employees and
stuff. You're never gonna be a gigantic charity or a gigantic nonprofit organization without some kind of structure, business structure.
Right.
And you have to pay people to get it to that level.
Right. And that makes sense. But, like, should the CEO of a donation be a millionaire? Like, you know what I mean? Like...
I guess it just depends.
Right. I'm not hating on anybody.
I guess it just depends on the situation. There's a lot of charities out there that bring in tons of money and spread a lot of good. You know, I'm sure being a CEO of any business is really tough. So
yeah,
I'm not sure what the pay would dictate, but I don't.
Right.
You know, that's not me. I'm a, you know, used car manager at a local car dealership, and then I do First Class. Basically, I guess if you looked at it as a side hustle, but it's more of doing the right thing.
Right. Again, I'm not hating. I'm not speaking from my perspective. I'm speaking how people like to look at these things. Like,
yeah,
I've seen those questions. Like,
it's really the first thing on people's mind, you know. And I've had people message me about letters from Santa and say, "Hey, you know, who are you? And you know, where are you from? And what is this organization?"
For all they know, you're just some guy, but you're not just some guy.
Like, no, not just some guy. All local, right. You know. And
we Cup of Cheer podcast vouch for him.
Well, thank you.
That's right, Mr. Du Bois.
Mr. Du Bois. And with the Letters from Santa program, that was really an idea that my mom come up with. We were sitting on the day before. It was Halloween last year. Mm-hmm. And she had said, "You should do something for Christmas." And I said, "I don't really know what to do." You know, because we do car shows all year. That's our primary source of income. So we have 7 car shows every summer.
Right, right.
And so I said, "I don't really know what to do." And she said, "You know what you should do? You should write letters from Santa Claus, you know, or you should get Santa Claus involved, I guess.
Because contacting Santa could not have been an easy task.
No, and it wasn't easy. But once we got it all cleared up with Santa, and, you know, he knew that the money was going to local children, we were able to get him on board with it, you know, and he found the time to help us out so that we could gather some more donations and help more local children. Mm-hmm. So what's great about it is, you know, the money that somebody pays as a donation to First Class Children's Foundation goes to a place where it's going to kick back out to other children.
Mm-hmm.
So it benefits the child that it's going to. It benefits children in the future.
Right.
And there's really no in-between there. There's no middleman. So Santa Claus is doing it just to help us, and then we're doing it to help the children.
Yeah, and if you have Santa's seal of approval, then... who could say anything otherwise?
I don't think that she could. The big man himself.
Yeah, he's watching right now.
Santa can.
Anyway, so, all right. Other than your foundations and stuff like that, what does Christmas as a holiday mean to you?
Like as you.
As you, as your fiancé?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you guys do? What is the holiday, why is it so special to you?
Well, we love Christmas, obviously. I mean,
you're the first person.
We decorate November 1.
You're the first person that decorates every year.
Yeah.
I can vouch for that because I delivered.
Yeah.
And I saw it. I would drive by specifically around this time and be like, "Matt, dude, last year I think you decorated before November 1st.
I'm pretty sure it's November 1.
Huh. It might have been. I was like.
Because we do like Halloween. We love Halloween. But then November 1 rolls around and we skip Thanksgiving. I mean, we celebrate Thanksgiving, but I always say November 1st to Thanksgiving.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. And yeah. then you have Thanksgiving.
That's what you had.
And then the very yeah. next day, it's back on Christmas until the 25th or whenever your family gets around to celebrating
right.
together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I love Christmas. I love this time of year just because of the kind of things that it represents. You know, it represents joy and the beauty of life.
Right.
And that's probably why I think it touches me and my fiance so much, just because it's so special and it's a special time of the year. You know, we don't have any kids or anything like that, but it's just the time of year that people like us that enjoy giving in the first place can give back even more.
Right.
So we do these programs and we do certain things through First Class Children's Foundation that I don't really talk about very often, but we do, you know, random acts of kindness to certain people.
Right.
And it's just the kind of time of year that we get excited about helping other people out. You know, her and I are both gift givers as opposed to receivers. Yeah, yeah. You know, I never know what I want for Christmas every year. You know, you'd hate to ask for anything. You don't want to be anybody's trouble, but we love finding something that we know that somebody's going to absolutely love.
Yeah, like watching somebody open a present is better than I always feel uncomfortable opening gifts for, I don't know why,
but I think it's just the spirit of Christmas. I mean, if I look back at my childhood, I mean, you know, that Christmas story feeling of that want or knowing that, you know, the big guy's coming and you have to be good. And then just the magic around the idea of waking up in the morning on Christmas and going down there hoping that you get something, and then you get it.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe it. Right.
Right.
It's a really good feeling to have. And I think that it's always been there for me. I've been very fortunate growing up, and my parents always paid attention to, you know, the things that me and my brother were into. And it was always a special time of year growing up. You know, my grandparents always made it special. My family loves Christmas more than anything. We all decorate a ton, you know, go visit each other around the holidays. Everybody's got a special Christmas ornament at my grandma's house, and all the grandchildren have to go over there and hang it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just have certain traditions that we do. But I love nothing more than just going around the neighborhood and looking at the lights
that
people hang
it.
Up. That's, I mean, I love it. I love Christmas movies.
What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Christmas Story. But I'll tell you what, as I get older, Christmas Vacation becomes very relatable. Christmas Vacation becomes very relatable.
That's got to be the number one answer, man.
But, you know, I do love It's a Wonderful Life, too.
I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
If you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, it's basically a story about what would happen if a guy hadn't ever been born. So his big wish in the movie, things start going bad for him, really bad. It gets really bad for him. And then he thinks to himself, I wish I had never been born because I don't want to be a burden on anybody else. An angel comes down and shows him what life would be like.
Horrible.
Yeah. If what life would be like if he had never existed. So he goes and basically shows him how many lives that he's touched through the progression of his life and makes him realize that his life was just as wonderful. And that he should, you know, take advantage of that or really hold it dear to himself, like the kind of opportunity that he has. So it's a 40s movie. It's black and white, but it's very well done. I mean,
right.
Jimmy Stewart's in it. Jimmy Stewart? Jimmy Stewart.
The president?
Jimmy Swaggart.
Oh, I was going to say. Swaggart?
President Stewart? I don't know anything about 40s.
I should watch Jimmy it this Swaggart. Year. It's a classic. It's a beyond classic, and I need to watch it.
Have they not remade it Stewart. Since?
They made versions of that story just like right. they do with everything.
So I was just going to say, there's a Disney movie. It came out. It's older. I don't know when it came out, but it was before Disney made this like politically correct switch in life.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
They're the biggest company in the world.
I know, but they made this big PC switch.
They're a big content company, I should say.
Where they take out, you know, they took out all sorts of different types of content in their old movies and did this. And it's a real dark Christmas movie. And it's got, I can't remember her name right now. She's the mother in Elf. You know what I'm talking about? She plays
She played in Back to the Future Part 3.
Yes. Claire Clayton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's got her in it. She stars in the movie, and a bunch of nobodies that I've never seen any of these people. And it's called One Magic Christmas, and it's on Disney Plus.
Is it?
Yeah, and I remember searching and searching and searching for it. I don't know how I ended up finding it one year, but it's been a favorite of mine. But the movie takes a really dark twist in the middle of the movie, and it reminds me of that.
Yeah,
this woman's life she just hates it. She's just not having it, man. And then she gets a dose of what life would be like without her husband and without her kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's like this weird...
I think that sounds similar.
Yeah, there's this like angel guy that follows her around.
I think that it's probably a direct
reference. And then this little girl goes and sees Santa Claus. And now I gotta say one specific thing about, you know, different types of portrayals of Santa in movies. This one's great.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, this one's real, real interesting.
I'll have to check that one out. I mean, It's a Wonderful Life is something that my mom kind of got me into because that's one of her favorite Christmas movies. But just the overall message of that movie, I think, is great. I mean, just hold life dear, have perspective. Mm-hmm.
Does it have the lioness moment? The lioness moment is from Charlie Brown when somebody in the movie learned the meaning of Christmas.
I think to a certain extent, I could probably say that.
Right.
You know, the movie's not really based... I mean, the movie takes place around Christmas time, but I don't think it's heavily based around Christmas. Itself. It's more of a feeling type movie.
Yeah.
Huh. It just shows you that, like, you know, sometimes, and I'm sure you guys can agree, like, sometimes in life, you get so stressed out with the things you have going on that you start to lose perspective of what's actually important. And at the end of the day, whenever, you know, it's something that I've overcome over the years, but at the end of the day, like, what happens at work or what happens in your life isn't really important as long as you have the most important people that are actually important around you.
Right.
So if you can wake up in the morning and you know that the 8 or 9 people that you love more than anything are still here, like, that's a great day.
You can't let
something that happens at work or something like that get you down, especially around the holidays where it's so easy to get
just depressed.
Yeah, to get down. But the movie sends a great message, and I think that the idea around Christmas is just trying to show appreciation for the people that are important to you.
I agree.
Because the point is, like, you could be, for all you know, you're sitting at home miserable, hating on yourself. There's some, like, there could be 3 other people in the world smiling, like, man, I'm glad I met that lame guy or whatever. I'm glad I,
right.
For all you know, you know. So,
you know, there's people out there too. I mean, you know, being unhappy isn't exclusive to certain people.
Right.
I mean, there's millionaires out there that are super unhappy, right? Mm-hmm. It's just because I think that sometimes people have a hard time, you know, having perspective over the things that are really actually important. It's something that I've really gotten onto lately that I think has made me a much happier person. Mm-hmm. But that if you put into perspective the things that are actually important, I think that you'll see that you'll be happier overall.
Right.
Which is such a great thing about Christmas too. I mean, you know, I look at it as an opportunity to let the people around me know, you know, how much I care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they, of course, let me know how much they care about me. So,
right.
I mean, I love this season, and I think it's just such a great message. And, of course, there's a huge religious aspect of it that I won't even get into. But, you know, overall, I think that it just has something for everybody.
Right.
It's a great time of year.
Yeah, all kinds of, like, you don't have to be religious to celebrate Christmas. And I understand.
You don't have to.
From parts of the religious community, like, some of them are very strict on that. But
yeah. Parts of the religious community, Jesus is the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand all that, and there's a religious aspect to it. But in America in 2019, I don't think that the consumerism is going away.
No.
So I embrace it rather than rejecting it. I mean, yeah, I think
it's only going to get more and more as things get more expensive, and, like, it's just going to be...
The stuff that people once seemed so simple, you know?
Right.
You know, the things that would make them happy or bring them happiness for even a little bit of time.
Thanks for listening to A Cup of Cheer podcast. We hope we gave you all the warm and fuzzy feelings that most things around this time of year should be giving you. Please come back next week and check out whatever episode we have in store for you. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.